Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging on to the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Here's a response from a person who listens to our daily Hindi language broadcasts to northern India. He writes, "I have been an enthusiastic listener of Asha Deep radio program for almost 7 years. My family also receives the messages gladly. We essentially need hope and encouragement in our lives, and your encouraging messages often provide true peace and hope to us. We have actively used the follow-up materials provided by you as a basis for Bible studies, and we have found them to be most helpful. It is often difficult to say one specific thing made a difference in transforming the lives of people. However, your radio program and follow-up resources certainly contribute in a big way to the transformative effect of beginning a faith journey." Isn't that a wonderful testimony? This listener is growing in his faith and being encouraged to walk more closely with Jesus. He's learning to pursue the true riches. Now, the last time we were together here on Hope for Today, we began a study of Luke chapter 16 under the title True Riches. In this text, we noted several disciplines that you and I need if we hope to acquire true riches. The first discipline we looked at was the discipline of being farsighted. By that, we meant the ability to look ahead and see the consequences of our choices. Seeing clearly will help us make wise choices and seek for those things in life that really last, not just for time, but on into eternity. Well, we were just getting started in our study last time, so let's continue it now. As we begin, let me read the scripture text, Luke chapter 16 and verses 1 to 13. He also said to his disciples, "There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward.' Then the steward said within himself, 'What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses.' So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Our text opens with the steward being accused of wasting his master's possessions. So the landowner calls the steward in, and he demands an accounting of his stewardship, because he's about to be fired. And the steward is immediately faced with the dilemma. What's he going to do? But then he has an idea. He will ingratiate himself with his master's debtors. He will do something for them that will obligate them to come to his aid when he loses his position. Now comes the interesting twist in this story. The landowner, and not Jesus as some have mistakenly concluded, commends the dishonest steward. Why does he do that? The text says he commended him because he had done wisely. The ESV says he commended him for his shrewdness. In different translations of the scriptures, these two renderings, wisely and shrewdness, predominate. And it means sagacious or prudent, sensible, and thoughtful. This same word is used in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24 to describe the man who not only hears the sayings of Jesus, but obeys them. And in Luke chapter 25, it's used to describe the virgins in the wedding party who made preparation for the future. They didn't know how long they'd need to wait until the bridegroom appeared. They were simply looking ahead, and they were commended for their wisdom. Proverbs 14 and verse 15 says, "A simple man believes everything, but the prudent man carefully considers his ways." So the steward was prudent. He was looking ahead. He was farsighted. He knew the debtors would assume the reduction of their debts came from the landowner. That makes them grateful and more loyal to him. Now, it's true the landowner would have decreased wealth by this transaction, but he would get the increased honor from his tenants that's so important to him. Notice what Jesus says next. The children of this world, or this age, are more prudent in their dealings with others of their own kind than the children of light are in the dealings with their own kind. People whose goal in life is financial success pursue it with single-minded devotion. Henry Ford, who was a wildly successful automaker, once said, "Work is the only pleasure. It is only work that keeps me alive and makes life worth living." You see, people like this are always looking ahead, planning how to use their money and their relationships to make more money and to accumulate wealth. And Jesus isn't commending that approach. What he is advising was that we as his followers be farsighted, that we take the long look. We who have a much higher reward than earthly riches should pour ourselves heart, soul, and mind into his service. One writer said that the children of light bestow less pains to win heaven than the children of this world bestow to win earth. They are less provident in heavenly things than those are in the earthly. The world is better served by its servants than God is by his. What a sobering indictment of casual Christianity. Now keep in mind the audience Jesus was addressing. That the Pharisees understood Jesus' message as being directed at them is indicated by their extremely negative response in verse 14 of this chapter. According to Paul's words in Romans chapter 3 and verses 1 to 3, these men had been entrusted with the oracles or utterances of God. This is most likely a reference to the law. And they had failed in their stewardship, and they would eventually be removed from their position, because they were much more interested in their financial and political future than they were in their eternal future. Now, it's easy for us to sit in judgment of them, but I ask, are we any different? Are we not guilty of giving more time and energy to earthly pursuits than to the heavenly? Let's notice further what Jesus says in verse 9. "Make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings." When Jesus speaks of unrighteous wealth, He certainly cannot be condoning wealth gotten by deceit or dishonesty. That wouldn't fit. To help us understand what he meant, let's look at verse 11. There, Jesus compares unrighteous mammon with true riches. True riches are those whose value is permanent and enduring. So the unrighteous mammon simply refers to the uncertain riches or the riches which cannot be trusted. Jesus says we should be farsighted enough to use those uncertain riches, money and possessions, to secure eternal rewards. It's just another way of reinforcing his command earlier to lay up treasure in heaven. These earthly riches will ultimately fail because they're only for time, they're only for the present world. But Jesus says we are to use them in such a way that when they've served their purpose, they will, as it were, have purchased for you and me an eternal habitation or dwelling place. Now, if you're like me and you profess to follow Jesus, we must ask ourselves how well we're doing with the resources God has entrusted to us. Are we exercising a similar or greater level of diligence in our service for Christ as the unbeliever does to accumulate his worldly wealth? Are we using God's resources that are temporarily entrusted to us to the greatest possible benefit for his glory? Will the things you and I acquire stay here when we leave, or will they go on before us to the security of our eternal reward? I don't know about you, but I know there's significant room for improvement in my life. Too often, my decisions about how to use money and possessions are based on the immediate, that is, on my wants and my desires. I fail so often to take the long look. And as a result, I suffer, other people suffer, and God does not receive the glory he so much wants and deserves. As one of the children of light, I acknowledge and receive Jesus' rebuke. My desire is to exercise greater prudence and foresight so I can experience the true riches Jesus offers. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, True Riches. The quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this complete teaching on true riches. We'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact us is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, True Riches. It's available in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto that site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study on true riches. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.